Gracious Lord God, for the glorious day in which you have given us the opportunity to celebrate life, and the life that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. Now, as we reflect upon the words that you have given us, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Say what? I mean, look, if you look at the gospel reading or for what we heard from the gospel reading this morning, what would you say? What? What are you talking about? You got to be kidding me. No way. Our gospel reading this morning is the beginning of the Christmas story that we get to focus on for the first time in 3 weeks, and we look for the coming of Jesus, God, to be with us, our salvation in Emmanuel, and all that's built up. And here we have the reading from Matthew, which is not as familiar as what we think it should be, because we all really know Luke. Because Luke's the one that's familiar. Luke's the one that talks about Mary and the angels and the stable and everything else. But today we get the opportunity to look at the Christmas story and Emmanuel coming to us through the eyes of Joseph. Through the eyes of Joseph, not the eyes of Mary, the eyes of Joseph. And if you were Joseph at that time, I think your response would be, say what? No way. So what I'd like us to do, let's go back to the beginning. And no, I'm not talking Genesis 1:1. Let's go back to the beginning and let's listen to our gospel reading and try to put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of Joseph. And now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. If you look at that reading closely, and you were Joseph, what would you say? You've got to be kidding me. You're a righteous man. You follow the law, you go to temple, you go to church regularly, you know what the law is, and Joseph, we know, is righteous. He's an upstanding member of the community, and that is why the Lord not only picked Mary, but to whom Mary was betrothed, because the Lord knew by picking Joseph, he was picking somebody who would follow the law, who would be with them, who would be committed to them and care for them. That's probably a bigger pick than Mary. Because if you take a look at the times and all that, what was happening? Joseph could, and he had decided that, you know what, the best thing for this whole situation is to do what? Dismiss Mary quietly. Now, you can only imagine the conversation that Joseph had with his future father-in-law and said, "Look, She's pregnant, and I know it's not mine. And the dowry you're giving me on this, we ain't even close. So we got to have some conversation here. And the best way to make this happen where we're going is, how about I do this? How about we just follow the law, which I'm permitted to do in this case, and we just dismiss her quietly and she remains with you. And the Lord goes, well, wait a minute. Let me send a messenger to him and talk to him in a dream. And says, you know, Joseph, you're questioning these things, and I understand that. But it's even maybe a little bit more than that, because not only is she pregnant, it's not her fault. It's my fault, because in my faithfulness to the rest of you to try to bring you all back together, in fulfillment of my prophet Isaiah from chapter 7, I will have a virgin conceive a child and try to bring the world back together to save the people from their sins. So in reality, you have nothing to do with this. Mary has really nothing to do with this. I'm going to use you to bring Jesus about, to bring salvation to the world. Now, can you imagine having that dream? How would you respond to that dream? Say what? Say what? I meet people all the time, and they keep telling me that one of the catchphrases is in the Navy. You'll hear them say, you go, how are you doing today? And they say, living the dream. And I always ask them, is it good or is it a nightmare? You can imagine Joseph going, you know, is this really good or is this a nightmare? What's going on? But when he wakes up and the questioning and everything's there, is he's put at peace. He's put at peace because he knows that the Lord's going to take care of him and Mary and the child. And so the angel has ensured to him that that which is about to take place is that all things will be all right. So let me ask you this question. As we go back and we look at these things and we try to put Joseph into perspective and Emmanuel coming into our lives, God coming into your life, God coming in and interrupting your plans, because that's what he did. He interrupted Joseph and Mary's plans. They had it all laid out from point A to point B. There would be no other route, but God interrupted them and interrupts the world. And that's what we celebrate come Christmas, is God interrupting us where we are at. Think about it. How would you respond for God to come interrupt everything you got planned? What do you do? What's your trust level? Immediately, yes, Lord? Or do you say what? I mean, there are speed bumps along the way. There are other turns or we might hit a dead end along the way. Because us, like Joseph and even Mary, you can imagine Mary's response. Oh, I'm pregnant. Excuse me? How'd this happen? When God comes to us, he comes to us, and it's not how we always expect. God comes to us, and it may not always fit where we want things to fit. Further on in Isaiah, you get to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and you read a verse that's in the 55th chapter that talks about God's compassion. And in God's compassion, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he says what? You know? God tells the prophet, my ways are not your ways. God's ways are not Joseph's ways. God's ways are not Mary's ways. God's ways are not our ways, but God's way is the only way. In the midst of life, in the midst of everything that we have, in the midst of all the turmoil, when we try to put all those things together, what do we hear? God says, I am with you. And you wonder what that looks like. How does God look like when he's walking with you, talking with you, being with you, or showing you the way? And God says to Joseph, Don't fear. Trust me, and it'll all be all right. Now, that's a pretty big statement when you think about it. If we go to the Gospel of Luke and we look Luke and we look at everything that took place. What happened? Joseph is supposed to follow God, and he does follow God in all truth and honesty, but you know there's got to be questions. I mean, how do you respond to Herod coming along and wanting to wipe out all two-year-old males in London, including your son? You know, you got to escape. How am I going to escape? I'm a poor carpenter. We're a family. We got no money. But three wise men, three magi, three people show up bearing gifts. What are the gifts really bearing? It's money to help them escape to Egypt, to pay along their way potentially, and to come back. God provided in the midst of everything. Even though he interrupts everything, even though he overturns the apple cart, as it were, even though that blown tire on the freeway, the dead battery in the car, God doesn't leave us alone. He provides a way for each and every one of us. He shows us the way. He doesn't leave us out there hanging, because his ways are not our ways. He interrupts our life. We expect God to come. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate God coming to us. And he does come to us, but does he come in the manner in which you think? Back then they were looking for, and we may even today, we're looking for a great king to come with great wealth to help solve all the problems of the world. That's the interruption we want, right? That'd be nice. But how does he show up? He comes, and it's announced to whom first? Shepherds. Who are the shepherds? They're poor people. Not only that, are they poor? Who do they live with? Sheep. Not only do they live with sheep, they live out in the fields. So Jesus, God, comes to those who are where? It's not who you'd expect. He comes to shepherds who are a little odoriferous, you think? You think they might smell a little living out in the field? You think they might smell a little bit because they stayed warm by sleeping amongst the sheep? They might be a little bit more. They're dirtier than maybe the rest coming into town. They weren't welcome in town necessarily. But he announces it to them as he announces to us in the midst of where we are at. God comes to us as he comes to Joseph where Joseph is at. And he calls Joseph to what? To a mission. To care for Mary. And to care for Jesus. And to show them along. We don't hear much more about Joseph other than that. We do know Jesus made it to adulthood. And there's not a whole lot of turmoil along the way. God comes to each and every one of us as God comes, not as we want him to come. And so through this Christmas season, as we journey to Saturday, which is Christmas Eve, and we celebrate gloriously that day, and on Christmas Day, next Sunday, gloriously, God coming to us, God's call to us. I ask you throughout this next week, to join me in reflecting in how does God come to you? How does God come and interrupt your life to align your life with his? How does God come and what does he call you to do this Christmas? To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.